This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ass shaking.
Do not stop, folks. Keep sending them buns over to Ross.
Twitter, please stop. Please stop sending me
Attaboy,
Luke Bryan ass. It's that.
Good Lord.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it's one of them kind of parties. I didn't know we was going to be talking about old Luke Bryan's butt cheeks, and I didn't know Ron was going to take it to a starfish, his old chicken eye, but he did, didn't he?
Not what I meant to.
I tell you what, it's a hell of a 3 o'clock hour, boys.
It's a great moment.
Hell of a 3 o'clock hour, man.
It's an accident.
How'd we start that? The Beyonce Levi commercial?
Oh, man.
Which, by the way, well done, Levi's. And then we went into some Lainey Wilson talk, obviously talking about rear ends, and Tyler threw Luke Bryan in there.
You can
don't try to put it on Ron now. Make of it what you will. But he decided Luke Bryan was the route he wanted to go to on Houston radio.
I want to, in fairness to me, it was
Ron said, "Hold on now, I will clarify."
Beyonce, Lainey Wilson. You slipped up and used the old a-hole word. And just happened to be talking about a man's tail end when you did it.
I started to get people sending me Luke Bryan booty shaking videos. Mm-hmm.
Attack that ass.
Yeah, he'll get up there and prance around now. He'll do his thing. There ain't no doubt about that. All right,
Luke prance.
There's something interesting out there, boys. I just saw this, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but there's a significant increase in the salary cap for NFL franchises this year. There's a significant increase, and I'm no GM, obviously. I'm no finance major, but apparently there are some teams, or there's thought out there that there's some NFL teams that may use that additional cap space. I think it's 20 plus million dollars that it's going to go up this year. And there's some people out there think that there are teams that will use that additional cap space to clear some of the money that they've pushed into the future in the past, to get their salary cap right, ultimately, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And along with that is, if teams are going to try to get their cap right, there's going to be some cap casualties. There's going to be some cuts. There's going to be some guys they want to part ways with. And so we're seeing that with several players. There's one that Jeremy Fowler of ESPN just announced that I wonder if this is somebody that the Texans would be interested in. LA Rams guard Jonah Williams has been granted permission by the Rams to seek a trade. Now, Jonah Williams was a Pro Bowl guard with the Detroit Lions. Last football season, he signed a deal with the LA Rams. He was injured, and they also note that he was benched. So obviously there was some poor play there in that one season at LA. But again, as I mentioned, this is a guy that was a Pro Bowler in 2023 with Detroit. There's an $8.5 million guarantee that's due March the 12th, which is that new league year that kicks in. So I'm assuming that LA is trying to make some decisions, try to avoid having to pay that particular money. But I don't know much about Jonah Williams, but I know he's not far.
Nick Cayley should.
Bingo. That's where I'm going with it. I don't know. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that this is a guy the Texans should or shouldn't go after. If he was a Pro Bowler in 2023, I would say hell yeah. But if the injuries were significant and there's something going on and this guy's he all of a sudden got a little bit of money and he's not serious about the game anymore, there could be some issues there. The key there is what you said, Ron. Nick Caley. If Nick Caley can come in from the LA Rams and Nick Caley can bring in inside information on a 2023 Pro Bowl guard that is available, Jonah Williams, I would imagine that'd be very valuable for Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, because that is a clear. You don't need one. You need two at the end of the day. You need two guys. Two of your three interior offensive line positions need to be veterans that you absolutely know can play. And so, again, I don't know much about Jonah, but I do know this is one of those things where Nick Caley should know a whole hell of a lot more about Jonah Williams than anybody else that wasn't in the LA Rams organization last year. You can say the same thing about Cooper Kupp, who apparently is on the trade block. Anybody that the LA Rams decide that they want to push out the door, you got to think that Nick Caley has the inside on that particular player, Ron. But this is the kind of thing, because I don't think the Texans are going to be able to go out there and with the cap space that they do have, I don't believe they're going to be able to go out there, and the money they've already got invested in their offensive line, I don't know if they're going to be able to go out there and just spend recklessly the way I'd like them to fix their interior offensive line problem. They're going to have to hit on a guy like this.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. No, because they need too much, Ron. I mean, you can argue they need all three, right? But they damn sure need two. They're not going to be able to go out there. They're going to have to gamble on a guy that is a Jonah Williams that had a rough year, or a guy like Zach Martin. I know he's retiring, but a guy like Zach Martin who's 34 years old, you go, man, he's got enough tread on time. They're not going to be able to go get two Trey Smiths. You know what I mean? I mean, when it's all said and done, I think they're going to have to hit on a guy like this that has some level of risk associated with him.
Yeah, one, him being benched with Nick Caley there is – nothing.
Not a good sign.
Not a great one that you like.
Well, but there was injury cited as well, so I don't know if that was injury when he tried to come back too early. It wasn't good. I don't know what the hell that means. I'm not familiar with the situation. I'll dig more. This actually just popped, but injury and benching.
Well, one of the things that I have tried to accept is I believe they need two to three new starters. I think they believe maybe they need one. And to me, I think they're telling themselves we could have Titus play left guard. We could have Juice play left guard or right guard, whatever. I think they just feel they need one. And for me, if you feel like you need one, I think you may need more, but then go get the one. That's my thought on this. Then go get the Trey Smith, or get the big boy, because I don't think they think the way that I think we do.
Well, boy, if they don't, I don't know what film they're watching. I mean, every one of them, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, and Nick Caley, talked about protecting the quarterback from the inside out. There's no way you watch that center guard from last year and you blame every bit of that on Chris Strauser. Well,
I think they do. I think they think it's coaching. I think they think it's coaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they need
boy,
one.
That scares me, because that means Shaq Mason would come back, and that means Kenyon Green's going to get the benefit of the doubt.
I think they draw the line on Shaq Mason and Kenyon Green. I think they are well aware. I would show them the Charles Omenihu play against Shaq Mason that damn near caused a fumble repeatedly in the playoff. I think they're beyond that. But Clint, I think they believe Patterson and Juice and Titus can play in those areas that they need. I'm not saying that's what I completely agree with it. I don't think Titus is a guard.
You can't go into the season without being your plan. Two, you can't go into the season without a backup plan. I just believe this, Ron. I agree with you. We're obviously on the same page that they got to go get a surefire starting guard and pay some money for him. I think other than that, they're going to have to take a gamble on somebody. Yeah. And Rams guard Jonah Williams being granted permission to seek a trade from the Rams, I think is something that could potentially be on their radar if Nick Caley knows what the hell's going on with him. Can I be honest with y'all? Because there's another guy that has been granted permission, if you will, that we talked about a week ago, and I've been stewing on this one for a while. 49ers general manager John Lynch says that they will honor Deebo Samuel's request for a fresh start. Deebo Samuel has been granted permission to seek a trade, and his tenure in San Francisco will end after 6 years. Now, obviously, there's some comments coming out of the combine with John Lynch, the 49ers general manager, speaking. And basically, the thought is that they're going to, honor Deebo Samuel's request for a fresh start, if you will. I think I'm a little more excited about potentially Deebo Samuel than I should be.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. To me, of the free agent guys, we're looking at him, the Cooper Cups, he's not a free agent, but the guys that are on the move, on the block, those would be trades. We've talked about Diggs, but there's some others out there, Keenan Allen, Joshua Palmer, maybe a little bit lower down on that list, but there's some guys out there that can move. Deebo is the most intriguing to me, especially if the Texans would be inclined to use him creatively.
Yeah.
He is more intriguing to me than Cooper and Diggs and Keenan Allen and others.
That's where I'm at with it. I think intriguing is the right word. And it's because you may think that you can draft a Deebo Samuel, and you may hit, but if you do, it's a very low percent. The odds are not in your favor. To me, Deebo Samuel's the one guy that I believe two things. I believe he's a unicorn. I don't think there's too many Deebo Samuels floating around out there. Number two, I believe that the drop in numbers has more to do with one, him, you know, I guess requesting that he be more of a receiver than a running back and his usage go down. And then they sign Christian McCaffrey, who's a guy that likes to play 99.9% of the snaps, which eats up a lot of the running back stuff. And the move, the kind of the weapon type player that Deebo was, Christian, arguably the best weapon in the league over the last several years, went to San Francisco. So I think if you put him in a position where he is in a huddle with a true running back and a bunch of receivers, where he can then do that Swiss Army knife thing, I think he's got some tread left on the tire, and I think he could really be a difference maker on an offense. Not to mention he comes from a place where, like, the physicality, the effort, the identity that D'Amico wants to have is, I think it's in his blood. It's who he is, and there's a history there with D'Amico Ryans. I can't quit. Every time I start thinking about weapons and how should the Texans address this wide receiver issue, I can't quit thinking about Deebo Samuel being here. That would get me real good and excited, more so than a true blue. Just a wide receiver that they would sign.
Especially if they can use him correctly, as I said.
Yes, absolutely.
We talked about it yesterday where it feels like guys would have more kind of solidified, known positions in the receiving core. He's somebody I would hope they would adjust.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he, you don't want to put him in a box. Explore every way you can use him.
A couple of other updates from the combine. There's a lot going on around the combine, not just the prospects. The prospects do start tomorrow in terms of the 40-yard dashes and the quarterbacks that are throwing and everybody lifting and all that kind of jive. Right now, it's a lot of meeting. It's a lot of talking, GMs, head coaches. There's also a real quick update on the Matthew Stafford situation. Ron, there's meetings going on with potential suitors between Matthew Stafford's agent and the teams. Now, the only team that was mentioned at the combine was the Giants. Do you think there's any chance in hell that Matthew Stafford is remotely interested in playing in New York?
First off, they pay him. I think he is. I think you have to at least consider it. Like, there's been many reports today in the last couple of days that his representatives have met with the Giants in Indy. So, I mean, you almost have to take it when we get to that point of it there, that means at least he has thought about it and is willing to potentially do it. I think there is a chance at it. And the Giants are a team which you look at, Clint, that especially if they ain't got to give up that third pick. Right, like I can't. I don't. I, like maybe the Rams are trying to hunt that down, But I can't give up. I don't know if I'm giving up the third. No. Yeah, I can't give up a third and got to pay him. But they're an interesting team. Him, like, you got Malik Nabers, and that cat came on last year, right? They've invested in the offensive line in the draft here. They had a Pro Bowl, all-pro left tackle, and then Evan, the kid from Alabama who's played right tackle, got better.
No, that's alcohol.
It's Evan something else.
Evan Williams is
and then,
alcohol, isn't it?
If you remember, their D-line, they added big time. They added Burns. They've got Lawrence in the middle. They've got the other kid from Oregon who they drafted real high, number five, who I can't think of right now. But that's a team that's not awful. And as you know, moves can be made to add to a team. So it's not a complete dumpster fire in terms of talent.
Yeah,
now, the guys running it may be idiots.
I didn't even get to the roster, to be honest with you, Ron. I just can't get those Hard Knocks comments out of my head about Saquon Barkley and the identity of the. I can't, man.
You gotta let it go.
I can't, man. I just
Brian
can't.
Brian Daboll has shown.
Ron, I'm not even the one that holds moving Saquon against him. It's the conversation.
Oh, I know it. You just showed
how much of an idiot. The fact that those kind of conversations go on in NFL locker rooms and NFL meeting rooms. Blow my mind. We're going to trade who clearly has the ability, whether you win games or not, clearly has the way to be your identity.
Well, he was.
We're going to trade him away and have no clue what our identity. We literally got to ask, well, if we trade Saquon, what's our identity going to be? And the response is Daniel Jones. We got to see what Daniel Jones is all about. I just can't take those guys serious right now. Another thing that's going on at the combine, With Matthew Stafford, I guess it's not at the combine, Ron, but you'll love this. There's a report out there that apparently Matthew Stafford visited Tom Brady up at Tom Brady's Montana home.
Sure he did.
Which I think is drawn into question whether they may be overstepping a little bit in terms of the rules and what the Rams think Matthew Stafford is up to.
Yeah,
they just can't. They can't seem to. Really hone in on what the rules are for Tom Brady.
Oh, bro, I'm going to tell you. Hey, Brady gets it honest, man. Him and old Belichick, they never could stay keeping.
They said they're going to start letting him. They're going to start letting him get back in production meetings.
They take
next
that
year for Fox. That's what they said.
They take that if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying thing a little too seriously.
My man supposedly hanging out in Montana up there in Brady's crib, and they're discussing the potential. Apparently, Brady's full court pressing him come to Vegas.
I'm telling you. Damn sure the Giants, and they may be too dumb to figure it out, but somebody, if he ends up going to the Raiders, damn sure somebody gonna turn that in. Somebody gonna Green Bay Packer this thing, gonna turn that thing in. All right, coming up, as we continue, we gotta look at breaking news, something that I cannot believe it has taken. 2025, the NFL Rules Committee, they have changed something that has been the same forever in the NFL. This rule will change next season. We'll tell you what that is coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
4:40 coming up. Rockets report. Brandon Scott will join us as the Rockets got a big win last night. I don't know how aesthetically pleasing that game was to watch, but a big win nonetheless. We will talk to Brandon Scott about all the latest with the Rockets. That's coming up. But, fellas, ladies out there as well, more than Melissa.
You beat me to it. I was about to say, Mel.
Breaking news. The NFL plans to implement an electronic system to measure first downs this upcoming season, per Mike Garafolo of NFL Network. The chain gang will remain on sidelines as a backup.
Wow, dude.
I mean, how long did it take for us to get here?
Yeah, this is one that, again, boys, it seems like it's a no-brainer.
I think it should have happened when you played. I think we had
Do we have the electricity? We have the ability to do that?
I think we did. I think
feel like if we have the ability to on our TVs to put Mokarem Injury Lawyers on every court that the Rockets play on, I feel like we should be able to measure 10 yards.
What are we doing here?
Keep it 100.
Yeah, they support the Rockets.
Now I wonder. I wonder where these guys are going to be. Like, I will say this for the NFL. I'm happy that these old guys, because I feel like the same people who do the chain gang are the same people who are greeters at Walmart. And I'm glad
that's not nice.
I'm not. What if it's not nice? I'm just saying they seem.
And they probably always know the weather forecast.
Around? Yes. 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 You're right. Chain gang guys seem like usually older white guys? Gentlemen who are. Yes.
All right. I'm going to go look in. I'm going to go look at film.
Oh, absolutely.
Get on this chain gang.
I was sitting there saying this is what we're doing. I've been in 2020, 2021, 2018. The best we could do is have these older guys in harm's way on the field measuring 10 yards with a damn chain. Well, but we got a yellow line across the screen that tells us where.
I'm all about the electronics being used to speed the game up. But here's the deal. You can't do away with the chain game. You just can't.
Why?
Because if I'm running the football down the field or something, I gotta have a visual of where the first down mark, like where the first down is.
I'm sure they'll have something for it.
Well, yeah, they'll have an old white guy standing over there with a marker in his hand.
I wonder what they will do with that.
I mean, there's got to be something.
Because it says the chain gang will remain on sidelines as backup. So I guess they're going to continue to stand there.
I think Garofalo misquoted. I think he's disrespecting the old white guy on the sideline with the marker. You got to have something. I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't going to know when to slide.
Where was it when It was a Texans game, and it stopped play because one of those chain gang guys got nailed.
Indeed.
It was like a concussion or something. He had to be they got to get these guys out of harm's way. They be in the weather.
Well, now I agree with that. There ought to be some level of combine preseason that you got to be able to complete before you can get your ass that close to the sideline. I agree with that.
Those guys and those camera guys they just get laid out. Like, I'm sorry. I just don't think we needed those older gentlemen out there that Chiefs-Dolphins playoff game where 15 people got caught with.
I agree. There's no sense. Why would they want to be out there? I have no idea.
Their legs amputated out there.
Frostbite.
Yeah, in that Tyler's voice right there, they're telling somebody how they lost three toes in that Dolphins-Kansas City playoff game.
But I thought I was there all four quarters.
This world's soft now.
No, that's a good thought. What would they do? Because I'm happy that they're going to keep them and still pay them. I'm guessing maybe they pay them half what they are. But I'm glad they're still keeping these guys. These guys still have jobs.
I don't think they can legally pay them less, Ron, to be honest with you.
I mean, if they're doing less work. But do they have to be there? What is the way to have, like you're talking about, the marking for 10 yards.
Somebody has to do it. I mean, you got to have somebody manning something.
I just got to believe there's something.
Because the what they're supposed to do is when they see the action coming their way, they drop it and move and run. Like, you got to have something there to where you can drop the pole and lay it flat to where the guys don't get hurt on it. So you got to have something that's human.
I think they can have a referee or somebody that has the first down marker and the marker and just drops and just puts the marker there every time.
Boy, better be right. If I start my slide on that marker and that electronic says, nope, that wasn't the first down, it's going to be on that ref's ass. You know how we watch it.
It ain't like them 65-year-old guys are lining them poles up.
Leave them guys alone, man. Let them put it up there.
Some goofball in a hat.
I will say, man, this feels like this is taking too long.
No, I agree. It's common sense. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Did you see where they announced that they're not going to allow flags to come out of New York, ultimately?
Good. Bunch of turds up there anyway.
No, I don't mean like the Giants or the Jets. I'm talking about
the entire state for you?
Yeah. Yes. I don't like this one, boys. Like, in other words, if a call is missed on the field, no matter how egregious it is, they're not allowing the flag to be thrown from New
York. I wonder
why
they would take that step back. That's weird. I don't mean to get the audience riled up, but right here. Another Chiefs rule right here with the electronic.
The Chiefs are in bed with the refs.
Measuring of the first downs.
Oh, is that a Chiefs rule?
Feel like it. That Josh Allen move. That Josh Allen where there's complaint if Josh Allen got the first down or not on that on that tush push.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, any conversation involving NFL referees would probably make a connection to the Chiefs.
Another one. The second time the Chiefs and Bills game, to me, has changed rules. And then, remember, Josh didn't get a chance to touch the ball, so they changed that rule for overtime, and now...
I heard they'll also change the refs' uniforms to a red and yellow color scheme, maybe.
They should. Yeah, they should. Hell, why not? Get them in here.
Oh, thank you.
They really, but they, there's a few things. They really should implement the flopping rule, though. I do. I think quarterbacks should be hit with 15-yard penalties.
I hadn't seen anything on, I'm sure that's going to be discussed, but I have not seen anything on any kind of flopping enforcement of not flopping, I guess. I haven't seen any of that. I'm sure it'll come out, though. I think all those meetings are taking place right now at the Combine.
Does this also mean it's over? I guess they still spot the ball wherever they spot it. I was going to say, does this mean it's over where these guys walk in? One of my favorite things every Sunday is to watch the both line judges walk in.
And they're two different spots?
5 yards apart. As they get closer, they come in, right? They had a damn thing. You watch the guy start a yard in front of the first down marker. Then the closer he gets to the middle, he's walked a full yard back.
You can't tell me either that I'm the only one that watches, and especially if my team's involved, I'm like, Danielle Hunter, run into that guy. Like, bump into that ref. Move. Knock him off his line.
No question. Just jumping.
You're short. I mean, he got it. Danielle, move him off his line. The spots gives him the first down.
Oh, man. Come on, man. All right. Looks like they're changing. All right, coming up, let's talk to our guy, Brandon Scott. A little Rockets report. The Rockets are looking to get out of this little funk they're in. They get a win last night. We'll talk to him coming up next.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, it's 4:40. That means it's Rockets report time. Brandon Scott, you can catch him all over the station from In the Loop to us. But twice a week, he and Adam Spolane drop podcast episodes on H-Town Hoops Podcast, wherever you find your podcast, Odyssey app. Can find it there. B. Scott, I know you were in the building last night as they get a big win. Despite how it looked, how it came about, they get a big win last night. What's the feel that you're getting from this team right now? They're 2-1 since the second half, I guess, since the All-Star break. As we started, what's the feel that you're seeing from this team?
Well, the big thing with the Rockets right now, and it's been a couple of weeks now, even going back before the All-Star break, is learning to live life without Fred VanVleet.
Is he playing tonight, by the way?
Exactly what that looks like. He's been ruled out, and he continues to be day-to-day, game-to-game. I saw him last night. He looked, you know, it's hard to exactly get a timeline out of them for Fred VanVleet, but he has officially been ruled out for tonight. But the big thing is they have figured out a way now, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit. It is not pretty. It is sometimes downright ugly out there trying to get things organized and trying to just run your offense, but they are figuring it out. It looks a lot better, I think, now than it did when Fred VanVleet first went out. Their issue, man, is like this consistency problem. How they get up for the good teams, the teams that they're supposed to, you know, be measuring themselves against, but don't quite do it against the Utahs of the world. And then we'll see what happens tonight against them. That's what makes this night so intriguing. Going up against the Spurs normally would be going up against Wimby. With no Wimby, now it's a question of, okay, do the Rockets get up against a lowly Spurs team without Victor Wembanyama when we've seen how they play down to the competition at times? But overall, they seem to be figuring out life without Fred VanVleet for however long that's going
to
last.
B. Scott, it seems to me like, and this isn't obviously all-encompassing, but it seems to me like a lot of the problems is young dudes figuring out how to play fast and play physical and push the tempo while also taking care of the basketball. You know, like, and I guess taking care of the basketball is too specific. It's just to play with control. Like, it seems to me, like, I'm watching that game last night, and it wasn't just the very end. That's obviously true late in the game. Like, clearly, there's nobody that had the experience or the ability to just go grab the ball and stop the action. Slow. We don't need to go score right now. Just let them foul you. Shoot the free throws. Game's over.
Shingun said, "No, we're going to do more than that, baby."
Well, that's my point. Is it just snowballs? It went. Jalen Green should have never passed the ball. I mean, just take the foul and go shoot. Instead, he's passing it around, and it just snowballs. And it seems like every time I look up, and there's one of those moments, and it happens multiple times throughout a game. It happened multiple times last night. It's like, it's almost just like flippant mistakes with the basketball that a Fred VanVleet, being a veteran point guard, he makes those decisions look so effortless. Yeah, I guess my question to you is it as simple as young dudes learning how to play with that fast, physical, up-tempo, but also take care of the basketball, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, no, I think the simplest way to put it is that sometimes, like, they've got a world of ability over there with the Rockets, but sometimes, man, they just flat out don't know what to do, you know? And you know, for me, man, I'm starting to, I understand it's a young team. It's a very young team.
What does that mean?
But
they don't know what to
do. Like, they make curious decisions with the basketball on a frequent basis. And I think the Shingun moment at the end of the game that did not cost them but was a curious decision is just one anecdote. You can find a number of them throughout the games. I mean, we watch it. It's part of what the issue is with them. I'm saying that they're figuring out a way to overcome that, to win in spite of that, to lean into some of the things, that they, especially as they get whole, all they're really missing now is Fred VanVleet. And so when you're out there and you can throw a mix of Tari Eason, Amen Thompson, and Dylan Brooks, and even Jabari at Giannis, and of course Giannis has an incredible night, but they make it hard on him. And you talk to Giannis and Dame Lillard after the game, and they're like, man, yeah, no, it is tough to get into a rhythm against those guys. And so that is how they're compensating for the fact that they sometimes do not seem to know what to do on offense. But again, they are at least figuring that part of it out. You know, we talked to Alvin Shingun. He's like, man, look, the closers are, and this is for better or worse, because we saw how it was last night. But the closers are Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün. Feel how you want to feel about that. Think what you want to think about that. But that's who they're going. Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, Amen Thompson, we've seen a couple of times get the ball late in situations when he's not getting flagrant fouls and getting himself ejected out of the game, type of thing. So, like, these young guys are the closers. They are the guys that they're going to rely on. They got to get this experience.
Brandon Scott joining us, Rockets Report. And I did want to get in touch on that, because as much as we talk about with the Rockets, the thing that was, I think, pissing off Udoka the most was the defense had taken a tailspin, and they weren't playing to the level that's what their identity is. It's good to see that is starting to come back. Holding them to under 100 points in a game like that part, and without Fred, I think it's significant too. So I think that part is something that they've got to hang on to, because that is what this team is about, is this defense continue to play like it did last night.
Even when you saw Dame go off, even when you saw Giannis go off last night, there was never a point in that game where you were questioning the Rockets' energy or what they were doing defensively.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't sustained. They shot 40% last night.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, and there was a brief moment, I think, there, maybe in the third quarter, where the defense kind of took a hit, but it was good very early and it was good very late. And so, for the most part, the defense, the energy, again, playing to their identity. We've talked about this over the last couple of weeks of, hey, even when they're winning, whether they're winning the games or they're losing the games, the issue with how they were playing was what was at the forefront. It's like, man, they're not playing like what got them to, at one point, the number two seed. Yeah. Last night was an example of playing exactly the brand of basketball that brought us to talking about them the way we're talking about them now.
Let me ask you this, B. Scott, because I obviously love Amen Thompson. But I don't know where he fits. Like, I don't know who, because he just flat out right now can't handle the ball as much as they ask him to handle the ball. I mean, because he's one that's involved in a lot of the careless. Like, Jalen Green's gonna have to handle the ball. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it seems to me like Amen Thompson ends up with bringing the ball up the floor and within that, a lot of times is out of control. A lot of times is making poor decisions with the basketball. And which, I mean, maybe that is a spot for him. I don't know. But he just seems, to me, he seems like to be a guy that's doing a little bit of everything right now. One game you go out there and he's rebounding like an absolute monster and he's in the paint and he's putting them back and he's trying to get to the rim. And then the next game he's standing out by the three-point line waiting on kickouts kind of deal. Where does he fit, do you think, when it's all said and done and he matures and he develops? Like, where do you think he fits best with the
run? Well, he was playing his best ball when he was off the ball and, you know, he wasn't the primary ball handler or any kind of semblance of a primary ball handler. When he's able to cut and kind of just, you know, take advantage of his athleticism. I do think the more, to your point, Clint, the more he handles the ball, the more you're exposing his weaknesses right now, which probably is some of the ball handling for somebody that is going to be at some point. Look, they're going to have to figure that out, because at some point he's too dynamic of a player and just too important to just kind of wipe your hands of it and say he can't handle the ball. Like, he's going to have to figure that part of his game out, and he's going to have to develop. To your point, right now it's not very good. I think they'll mitigate that once Fred VanVleet comes back. And, of course, Jalen Green has also been somebody they've relied on to handle the ball a lot more than he probably did in previous seasons. So, yeah, no, I think it's a legitimate issue. But, like, they got to have him out there. He forces the issue, the athleticism. Yeah. Like, he is a problem, a nightmare on both ends of the floor that you just kind of – you got to live with the good and the bad.
It's just wild to watch him, because you look like Tari Eason is – I mean, he's shot it well, and he's great on defense. And then Dylan Brooks, great on defense, and he's shot it well, even though it's a funky-looking shot. Jalen Green obviously has the ability to create. Yeah. Alpi, you know who the hell he is. It just seems to me like the one dude, man, that is just – I find it hard. I love watching him. He's great. There's obviously a place for him. But figuring out where his role – what is his role?
I think his role and his fit is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason. That's why you can't quit him. It's everything.
He's the Patriots offense. Yeah. He's going to, by whatever the game plan is and who it may be.
Because so it is literally just getting better at what we're already seeing him do.
Y'all were having that conversation about Deebo Samuel earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost kind of like that. Like, man, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? Yeah. What the hell is this guy, man? I don't know, but I'm giving him the football.
He's going to guard the point guard.
It's kind of like
getting
that.
Getting touches,
He's going to guard the point guard tonight, or he's going to guard the four.
Like, think about it. Even the play where he gets ejected, right, where he yanks Giannis by the neck. Don't lose sight of the fact that he was going up there to check Giannis.
Yeah.
Like, this is a 6'6 guard that they feel comfortable with that mat. Now, I'm not saying that he can just straight up guard Giannis. That's an impossible task.
Right now.
But they've entrusted him with that. Like, the best and strongest and most difficult matchup, they're going to give it to him.
B. Scott, before we roll here, a bigger picture question to you and your thoughts on this. Are you feeling different about the Rockets in terms of where they may end up in the playoffs, their potential for a postseason run, with everything that has happened around them in the conference? Teams have either added new pieces that have changed them, or they're kicking it into another gear. Like, the Nuggets feel different. The Grizzlies feel like they're starting to kick it. Obviously, the Lakers have changed their team. The Warriors are coming. Are you feeling different about the Rockets big picture wise in the Western Conference, talking about the playoffs?
Yeah, not really. I still expect them to be a playoff team, not a play-in team, but a playoff team. Yeah. Now, I might be a little differently about whether they're going to host a series or not. Like, to your point, I think that is a little bit more complicated because of how crowded the field is. But Adam Spillane and I have talked about this on the H-Town Hoops podcast of, like, looking at the Western Conference in almost three different tiers, but the first two tiers only have one team in them. So there's, like, Oklahoma City at the top, then there's Denver right under them, and then really everybody else still feels like a similar type of caliber team. Now, you trust those other teams because they got the stars and the pedigree that the Rockets simply do not, but I think that they are the caliber of teams that are not Denver and Oklahoma City, somewhere around the Lakers and Memphis and those teams.
It sounds like you feel like Clint is – it's hard to judge them right now without Fred. Is it hard to judge them because they're not complete?
I'm judging them with Fred. Like, I know he's not there, but he's coming. But, like, it's not a catastrophic injury. He'll be back. And to the point I was making earlier, man, they have figured out ways to win games – without dude. They are playing, it doesn't always look pretty, but they are playing better even without Fred VanVleet. So I think it's legit.
For me, it was more like this team without the superstar, without the experience, with how they have to win games, it's just very difficult for them to sustain any level of consistency when they're missing a piece. Yeah. Whether that piece be Fred VanVleet or Alpi Shingun, whoever it may be, like that one piece really hurts them because they don't have the whole. You know what I mean? They need everybody out there, whether it's the depth players or it's the center or it's the point guard or it's Jalen with the ability to create and score, in bunches. Like they need all of that to be a playoff team.
Yeah, well, I think that if they don't win a playoff series, like if they don't go further than the first round, that could be the reason why, yeah. Like everything that you're describing. But I think that they are still good enough and have been good enough to still get somewhere between, let's say, the 4 and 7 seed.
Brandon Scott, every week, twice a week, him and Adam Spolane drop episodes on the H-Town Hoops podcast. And it's must-listen, especially as they're heading towards the playoffs. Talk to you next week, as we always do, each and every Wednesday, 4:40. Coming up, a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you caught up on the Astros. They won today. We'll tell you about Framber as he got a start. And the captain, Joe Espada, gives an update on Altuve. We'll let you hear what he has to say about that coming up next.